Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your soul be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? For the fountain flowing for the soul unclean, are you blushed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? When garments spotless, are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside your garments that are stained with sin. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Be still, rind of this blood. A line of lace and this wash and this blood. Is thy clyde shown fatig, bist du weiss wie Schnee, bist du rein durch das heilendes Blut, bist du rein durch das Blut, reiner wasch in das seligstes Blut. Is thy clyde shown fatig, bist du weiss wie Schnee, bist du rein durch das heilendes Blut. I like that song, I tell you. It's been on my heart for the last 2-3 weeks. It's all about Jesus Christ, you know. It's not about our own righteousness or anything like that. And there's something on my heart that it's been trying to figure out how to execute this, and it's about 2-3 months now. But I've been on the road, so I haven't been home till this week. And like I say, I was supposed to be going out Sunday, but or Saturday, Friday. But my rear end went to my truck, so I believe the Lord wants me home this weekend to have a conversation about what's on my heart, and it kind of mixes in with this song. So, you know, the easy thing is be just switch on the computer and don't have to, you know, for me anyway, just switch to the computer. It's an easy way out. But when the Lord puts something on your heart and you have a conversation, it's very challenging. There's a scripture I want to read. It's in John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. See, guess what it's trying to say is Jesus is the only way to enter into this. And the only way you can do it are you washed in the blood. It's the right of the island is blue. And I've been in this truth, I think, in 1996. The Lord brought me to this Brother Jackson's message in 1996, just before he preached the countdown. And so when Myrna and Lorraine, when you came in, I thought that was just, to me, it was just great. You know, I've been 96 and you came in, what, about 2000?
2005.
Brother Jackson was gone, right? 2005. So I was pretty much 10 years just myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you came in, it was quite a... Because I didn't know you, I didn't know Myrna, I didn't know nobody from my cousin Saul's children. So when you came, it was exciting for me that not only somebody from the colony would see this truth, but my next kid. You know, it was a great time. And then, like, I didn't know how serious it were, or I just knew you're coming to church. And I really, Ken just kept telling me how, when he gave you that book, the Church Ages, I think it was, and how you really grabbed a hold of this truth. And to me, it was pretty exciting. And then later on, Ernie came. And there again, I didn't know how serious Ernie was, but he could at least come to church. And he started packing a Bible. And that was a good time for me. I'm sitting all with all these, well, they weren't strange. It was like the Cooks and Jadals. I kind of know Jadals from the back. But when somebody from your own background comes in, it's, to me anyway, it meant a lot to me to see that. And there again, I somebody comes, that's fine. But how serious he is, I do not know. It's something to come to church and to see this truth, but to stick it out and to stay the course. And I remember back in the early 90s when the Lord began to deal with me, I didn't know nothing about a message or truth. I just knew one thing. I was done with the hotter I called in. And I knew what it would cost me, because the Lord showed me, you're going to lose everything. They're going to take everything away from you. You got to make up your mind before you start this journey what it's going to cost you. And I knew what it's going to cost me. But I didn't really know that it'll cost me that much, but I was kind of forewarned. They're going to take everything away from you, and that they happen to be either religious leaders. So I didn't go into this unprepared. I kind of knew, because I knew how they dealt with other people before me. So I kind of got into this knowing there's a price to pay. And there's a life that has to follow with it. So when Ernie came, I hope I don't embarrass Ernie. I'm going to have to take him as a, how this stuff works, as a servant, I guess you would call it, or as be part of the conversation. And I really admired it when Ernie, came. Everybody seemed to take to him, But like I say, I didn't know whether it was Sears or not. And then one day I was down at Kent's, and he said they had to drag Ernie out of the bar last night. I guess he must have got into the wrong stuff in the Starbucks bar, you know. And he kind of made it kind of comical, but there's what? What are you? 7 feet tall? 6'5"?
Yeah, something like 6'5". Yeah.
6'6"? And there's Ernie, and he just fled out, and I had to drag him out to get fresh air. I remember back when I was up in Vancouver. I left the colony when I was 22, I guess. And I went to this, group we were playing, this rock and roll group. And I was in there, and there was hardly any air. And I don't think I had anything. Maybe a Coke or something. And all of a sudden, I started getting dizzy. And I just saw the sign exit. I headed for that exit sign. I made it out, and I fell down just outside. I passed out just outside the door. But I had fresh air. Then nobody saw me. And by myself, I came to myself on my own with just the fresh air. And but I know what it's like to pass out. And, but then.
That was the first time to last.
And I thought, you know, I need to have a conversation with her. You can't live that kind of a lifestyle and come to church. You kind of try to hide behind a church thing. Packing the Bible on Sunday and then go back to your old buddies, your old friends. And it kind of sends a wrong message what we were about. And I know, I know I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but if I do mess up, I don't continue in it. The Bible says if we continue in sin,
you
can't continue. You can't make it a lifestyle. And I noticed, Ernie, that you wasn't really. You were flipping back and forth. Sunday you'd come to church, and then you'd come with your weekends, your weekdays. You had an opportunity, you'd go to your buddies, and there'd be the booze and the barbecues, and I felt, you know, I need to have a conversation with her. Maybe just doesn't know how this stuff works. And this is what this conversation is about, just to kind of school you how Christianity and how this journey works. Jesus said, or I think John said, children don't sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. There's Jesus Christ the righteous. But he said, if we continue in sin, like if we walk in sin, that means that your life becomes a life of don't give a rip. You just begin to walk in a life of fleshly desires. And that's what it means, and that's what John means when he says, don't walk in it, don't continue in sin. Because if we continue down that pathway, there's no hope for us. So I thought, you know, I'm going to have a conversation with him, because this has been brought to my attention. Ken told me about it, so I said, well, I'll talk to Kurt. So we went for a drive. I remember we were going for a drive out in the country there. And so I talked to you about it. You probably still remember. We went for a drive out in the back row there, and I says, Ernie, you don't have to come to church if you want that kind of a lifestyle. You don't. It's not like in the colony where you have to go to church. It's not. Doesn't work that way here. If you want to come because you want to kind of better yourself, but if you don't want to. I mean, if you want to live a life of, I call it in the gutter life, have at her. But don't mix the two, because you're no good there and you're no good here. You kind of, it's pretty hard on you. Yeah. So if you want that kind of lifestyle, I know we had a conversation. And then I talked to you about hunting, illegal hunting. says you can't do that. And you got to let go of that Sky View, that Hutterite, that ex-Hutterite buddies and all that stuff. You got to let that go. You got to continue on in the Lord and make an effort to have a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And that's what this is all about. And I guess, hey, I fail him. I fail him so often, sometimes, and I even get faint in my heart. But I don't. I make it right. I head back, and I know where I left off, and I got to continue on. My greatest desire is on a day-to-day basis, Lord, what can I do for you? And sometimes in your zeal and your effort, you mess it up. You're on ahead, but that's my desire, is to serve the Lord. And I remember we was having that conversation, and we were driving on that back road, and all of a sudden, it's like you were saying, I don't have to listen to your garbage. And you took off across that field. I think you're seeing a fox or a coyote or something. And you're just like I hadn't even talked to you. I seriously wanted to help you, and here you are. I just held on to the door handle so I don't bounce around, and you kept going across that field. I don't know. I think it was a fox or something.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, I can remember it was today.
I can't remember.
And it was like something took over. A real wild something that. And I thought, man, no use talking to him. He'll do whatever he's going to do. Whatever he wants to do, let him do it. And I don't know what got over you. Just like something snapped. Heck with you. Heck with what you're saying. I'm going to do what I want to. You're not going to tell me what to do. And I didn't mean to tell anybody what to do. I just meant either or. Half that life. But don't mix it with coming, packing a Bible on Sunday, and don't mix it with trying to come to church. So then you didn't come, I think, for 6 years. You didn't show up. Well, I had no problem with that, if that's what you want. I mean, I was glad when you did come, but then you quit coming altogether after we had a conversation. I remember not running into you. I still treated you as a human being, and I sometimes wondered where you're at spiritually speaking, but it seemed like you're going down that path with your buddies and your barbecues and your booze, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem if God wants to do that. What I have a problem with, if you try to hide it behind a church or the Bible and bring reproach on the church. And so I thought about you from time to time, you know, because you got the same blood, you know, you're my next of kin. So I do care about my relatives, especially once they seem to leave the colony and they seem to have a tendency towards spiritual things. I really admire that, but you know, I can't make a Christian out of a person. To me, it's a great thing when somebody has a passion and desire for, especially for this truth. And then one day Lorraine and I was having lunch at Ken, and she told me you're coming. And I hadn't seen you for a long time, but I could tell just by looking at you, man, you were a mess. Like it looked like you were under tremendous pressure. And when I see somebody, my first thing, Lord, what can I say? I mean, you try to say something that might help this person, like direct that person towards the heavenly things. And I didn't have no words to say or anything. And then just deep down in my soul, I felt the Lord speaking to me. Pray for the man. Pray for him. And then we did. We just had a little prayer that the Lord would undertake. And it wasn't that I decided I'm just going to pray for you. It was the God of heaven. He moved on my heart to pray for you. Right there in that can at end. Right there at the table. And Lorraine told me later on that she felt the same thing. So it was the Lord that had been watching you, like He watches you. Even though you're living in sin, the Lord still cares, and He watches you, and He finally got you to the point. He won't twist your arm. He finally got you to the point where you realize you had a need. And you come by, I believe, the Lord brought you there to that point to help you. Because he got us to pray for you. And that's the only thing we could do. We couldn't, because you don't know what to say. You can't preach to somebody because all you do is become religious. Anyway, I believe the Lord began to deal with you for weeks. And then I began to see the change in you. And you'd come to church every weekend. And for some reason or other, that period of time, I was home every weekend. And we got together and we had a conversation. And to me, I began to see your whole countenance changed. And it looked like you were going the right direction. And then the girl, what's her name, Vicky? She was, when I take a bird's eye view of this whole thing, it's like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, she helped me, actually.
Yeah. See, it's, when I heard about it, I was excited. I really was. I think I even talked to you about it. And when you look back and you take a bird's eye view, the Lord knew if He doesn't intervene in your life, you're going down that path to destruction. You're going to self-destruct. He's got to intervene. And He used Vicky to kind of help pull you out of the gutter. That's what I call it. I call it gutter life. That's all it is. It's alive living in the gutter. That's all that is. No matter how bad or how little it is, it's still going down a path that's a one-way street to destruction. Even if you don't indulge in as much as other people do, it's still going the wrong direction. And the Lord saw that, and He knew He's got to reach down and try to help you. And He used Vicky to kind of change course in your life, even though maybe nothing will come off it. But when I heard about it, and I was praying there one day, that's what I saw. I saw God is bringing her in to kind of lure you. Like, you know, when you catch a fish, you don't just throw your thing. You put a lure in there. And it was like He's luring you out of that cesspool, out of that life in the gutter. And like I say, if He don't intervene in any of our lives, we're doomed. And then for, I guess it was maybe about 6 weeks, I could see an improvement. And I could see the Lord's dealing with you. And I'm sure if you had to be honest with yourself, you could feel it in your heart too, that you was slowly getting into another direction, going another direction. And then I know there was emotions. Well, here it is, and here's this, and do I want to give up this? And one day, I think I was maybe down in, might have been 3,000 miles from here. I saw the Lord dealing with you, and all of a sudden, you did the same thing to Him that you did to me when I was trying to talk to you about that hunting and that bar, living in the bar and stuff like that. And He just told the Lord off. He just told Him, get away from here. I want to enjoy my gutter life. I know, I just don't know how the conversation went, but the Lord is going to confront you. He was trying to confront you with some issues, and you refuse to own up to them. You more or less told Him to go fly a kite. I'm not interested in you. I want to hold on to my gutter life. The reason I know that, He had been dealing with me about something at the same time. And one morning, woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And And he showed me, hey, this is something you've done. I know it might not have been a major thing, but it was something that would eventually cause me to lose my desire to serve the Lord. And he saw that, and he confronted me with it. And when he confronted me with it, I repented right there. Like, I owned up. The best I can say, I owned up to it. And when he confronted you with your issues, you could not own up to it. You didn't own up to it. And all he wanted to do was help you. And you left him standing there. And that was it. He had to let you go back into the gutter. And he showed me, you're gonna lose a desire for church. You're going to lose a desire because, see, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about Lorraine. It's about the Lord has to... you got to go to the Lord, like the song says. Have you been to Jesus? You can't come in. And then I read that scripture, John, Jesus is the way. And then I knew all that. Like, I knew it was about a Wednesday when I knew you had rejected the Lord, because he's the only one that can help you. And then I remember you coming on Sunday. We're at my place. And you know, I try to be Mr. Nice Guy, honestly. What I should have done, I should have confronted it right then and there. But here I am, Mr. Nice Guy, and I had this conversation about I noticed the time you were there before you looked at that chart about the time chart that Lorraine made up.
Oh, okay.
And I could tell you didn't understand it, so I figured, well, maybe I'll explain it next time around. I remember that Sunday I tried to explain it, but it was way over your head. You'd already discarded the Lord, so what's the sense in talking about it? Because he, no matter what I say, you're not going to get it. And it was way over your head. I know you didn't get it. I realized that afterwards. And then you went out and you had a flat tire. And here I am, being Mr. Nice Guy, you know. Sometimes you can't be Mr. Nice Guy. It was pretty cold. I remember it was a bit cold and windy. It was miserable. So I figured, well, we blow the tire up, we can take it down to the shop and fix it, at least inside. We fooled around all afternoon with that thing, and I'm still trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. But what I should have done, like the real thing, what I should have done, you left my friend standing there. You turned him down, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he showed me that you turned him down, you left him, and I should be doing the same to you. Why should I worry about your flat tire? But I'm being Mr. Nice Guy, and sometimes being Mr. Nice Guy, it's the worst thing you can do. What I should have done, Ernie, you got a flat tire, you see how you fix that tire. Because at the end of the day, that's what we had to do anyway. You had to call up Ken. You get that bolt and you fix it. But I spent 4 hours, you know, trying to be Mr. Nice Guy.
And you didn't get anywhere.
In fact, we went backwards.
Yeah.
And see, that's the way it is, you know. The Lord, you want to go the Lord's way or you want to go this way? Well, it was obvious. You didn't want to have nothing to do with the Lord.
I wanted to do something. I wanted to have. That's why I was there.
No, you rejected it. Yeah. You were there, and you still keep coming, but you don't want to go the proper route. And what it does, it drags. It you got to go to the Lord. You can't come in the side door. It says here, he that comes in through the side, or other than through the Lord, he's a thief and a robber. Jesus is the only way that you can come into this fellowship. And you were trying to come in the side door. And then you used Lorraine, because Lorraine, she's got a kind heart and she got compassion. So you're using her to get, come on, Lorraine, open the side door for me. I want to come in the side door. Basically, in reality, that's what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Subconsciously, that's what you're really doing. You're draining Lorraine can't help you. Lorraine is not the way.
I know. Yeah. Lorraine is not the truth. To get to Jesus. I know that.
But you gotta. What I'm trying to say is, now you know you messed up with the Lord. You know you turned him down. No. You know you rejected him. So, but you don't want to. Your pride won't let you go back and, oh Lord, I'm sorry.
I already did 20 times.
But you played the game. I remember I was out somewhere the following Sunday. I was somewhere else and I wasn't here. And Lorraine said that Ernie was here and we went for a drive and we had a good talk. We went down for a drive and I told him, Mom, I'm glad. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you went for a drive. When I hung up the phone, the Lord spoke to me. He sure knows how to play the game. Meaning you. You're playing the game. And you're playing the game with Lorraine. You're trying to get her to agree with you without going to the Lord. And I what if I'm wrong? Like what if I'm, is this you, Lord? Is this really the way it is? And how do I know? And here's what he told me, Ernie. When you've been to the Lord, you bring a package with you. You become to be an asset. He gives you something to contribute. That's the word. You contribute to the body of Christ. You're not a drag down. And that's why I knew, because you need to go to the Lord. And he, you may say, I repent. That's what I did. Like I told you the thing before. I knew I messed up the minute I did. I know I did something I ought not to have done. And I took it to the, I repented right away. And I thought everything is okay. I told the Lord even after that. And it was about maybe a month later, the Lord confronted me with that thing. And I had repented. I had said, I'm sorry, but it don't work that way. And it was like, I'm driving down the road, and I'm very disgusted with myself. I said, Lord, why? I don't know why you even put up with me. I failed you so many times. Take 3 steps back, ahead, and 2 back. And it seems like I was hearing this conversation. It was like, there's 2 angels having this conversation, and then there's somebody in the front of my truck I'm driving, and I feel to hear this conversation. And these angels say, you know, should we just drop them? Should we just discard them? Just leave them alone? And the guy in front, which was, I believe, was an angel of the Lord. I'm not imagining this. I'm really feeling this conversation. I'm telling myself, Lord, I don't know what you put up with me. And I hear these angels having the same conversation. Should we just drop them and leave them alone? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And this one in front, he said, it's okay. When the time is right, he will do the right thing. And I did not know what the right thing was, because I thought I'd repented. But he kept saying, no, it's okay. When the time is right, he will do the right thing. And I thought the Lord wanted him to get me to say something, and I was so afraid, Lord, what if I fail you? And this conversation was going on between me, and also, it's like they were reading my mind, and they were discussing among themselves, and they were talking to the guy in front, which, like I say, it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that he said, it's okay. When the time is right, he will do the right thing. And that's that time. I was out in Arizona, and it was 2:00 in the morning. I was out in Oklahoma, or Texas, somewhere out there anyway. I think it was Texas. 2:00 in the morning, he woke me up. And it was like I was called into a meeting. I was called into a room. And all of a sudden, these two comrades that were here, we were all in a meeting kind of thing, the 4 of us. And I know to a lot of people that sounds like you're hallucinating, you must have had something. But it was real. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was wide awake. And I was called into this meeting. And here I was confronted with this issue. Well, I owned up to it right away. I said, yeah, I know. I really regret doing that. And it was over. Okay. And those two angels, they weren't inside like the angels of the Lord encamped about them that fear him. There's angels present. You may not see them, and I may not see, but sometimes I feel their presence. And when I had, from the time I'd messed up, they were outside the truck. They weren't in the sleeper. They were outside. And they was thinking about dropping me, and I was thinking about myself. But after that session, 2 o'clock in the morning there, and I owned up to this issue, they came back in the sleeper, and everything is good, you know. These angels, they can't stand you if you reject the Lord. But see, here I was confronted, and okay, then that's what the Lord meant when he said, when the time is right, he will do the right thing. That's exactly. And the right thing was to own up to what I had done. Even though I repent and all that stuff, I can't switch, like Jesus Christ is not like a light switch. You switch them on when you want, and you switch them off when you're done with them. And then you go back in the gutter and enjoy the gutter life, and then you want to come with the Lord, and then you, like a light switch, I don't want you now, I want to go back in the gutter for a while, and then I might need you on Sunday. You put the switch on. It don't work that way. The Lord knows your heart. He knows how serious you are. And you can repent, you can be sorry, but the Lord knows you're just playing games. I mean, that's really serious. He knows that. He knows better than I do. And he knows better than you do. He knows whether you're serious or not. Like when my...
Like, tell you the truth, I never was serious now.
Yeah, no.
In my heart, that what I know.
What's that again?
I never was as serious as I am right now.
But you're still just playing games.
I can't see how, but maybe he'll show me.
Well, that's the thing. When he showed me you're rejecting him. See, the Lord has done a lot for me. I couldn't make a day without him. He protects me. I've learned to. He's my friend. He's a comrade. And, you know, when you have a friend and you do something that hurts my friend, my buddy, my comrade, I'm hurt. So I was kind of ticked off that you would reject him. And there for a while, I didn't want, I don't want nothing to do with you. I couldn't care less. Go get in the gutter and enjoy yourself. And the Lord showed me something. He hasn't given up on you. And he didn't want me to give up on you either. But you can't switch them on and off like a light bulb. And he knows whether you're serious or not. But you gotta like John said to these, you gotta show fruits of repentance. You gotta make an effort to get out of that lifestyle. And I thought to myself, how do you massage the Lord's heart? How can you make the Lord come back? What can you do what can you do to soften up his heart? Because you left him there, and that's. I remember when back in 1973, the Holy Spirit had been dealing with me for about a year.
That's when I was born.
Yeah, 73. He started dealing with me. In 72, he began. Maybe 2 years. I could tell he was trying to soften me up, and I tried to live a righteous life. I tried to be good. I tried to quit smoking, and I tried to come to God. And I tried to bypass the Lord Jesus Christ. I tried to be good, self-righteous. And one day the Lord, I seen the Lord come. It was 10 o'clock at night, 10 minutes after 10 at night. In the evening, I was already in bed. And I seen the Lord come. And he was like when you go courting, when you have a girlfriend, and you go courting. He was so happy. And I knew he was coming towards me. He wanted me. Because I read the scripture, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he stood outside the door and he knocked and he wanted to come in. And I was afraid to let him in. And I didn't let him in. I was afraid. But I was just not quite ready for that. And he walked away. And he was coming from the east. And all of a sudden I seen what it does when you reject the Lord. I just felt the pain, that the way he came up to me so happy and so jubilant, and then I turned him down, and it was like all of a sudden he was so broken. I didn't see his face, but I could tell the way he walked. And I ran after him. I said, "Lord, I didn't mean to turn you down. I just don't ever want to become, I'm afraid, I don't ever want to become like a radical, like do crazy things like I see some people do." And the Lord came back in, and he came into my life, and he gave me my sin. And my biggest fear was to, if I become a Christian, I'll do crazy things. But I said, "Lord, I don't want to do things that are radical. I want you in my life, but I don't want to ever do these crazy things that some people do." And he came in, and he has been true. He doesn't let me become that. You won't see me run up and down the aisle like, that's how some people do that. What happens when that thing comes on me, that spirit? You will someday see me when that thing comes on. I'll be over in the corner on my knees. That's how it affects me. I'm looking for a place where I can reverence the Lord. That presence that comes on. And he has been faithful. He has not let me become like a loose can, like do something, because that's what I was afraid of when he came. But I know what it feels like when you reject the Lord. That's really the only thing that you can do is reject the Lord. When you reject the Lord, you reject eternal life, you reject salvation, you reject his help, and he's the only one that can help you. And when you did that to him, I had no heart for you. But the Lord showed me you can't give up. They can't give up on you. If you can show fruits of repentance, if you can show to the Lord that you mean it, you're used to playing games. You got a good nature, and you get people to love you and to like you, but you're really not serious. You're just using people, and you can't do that with the Lord. You can't use him, and he knows that. He knows your makeup. He knows you better than we know you, and it'll take a gut wrenching seriousness to soften up the Lord's heart again, that he would come your way. But he won't take you with your games. "I'll accept you today, and then tomorrow I'll go back in the gutter again." That kind of thing. He ain't going to do that. You got to show him that you're serious.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm doing that stuff. A lot of things are right.
Well, apparently that. I was thinking about you during the week. I know I'm going to have this conversation, because I begin to see the Lord is not letting me go on a trip.
You've been really perfect.
It's not got nothing to do with being perfect.
There's some fighting hard. I can tell you.
It's got nothing to do with the only thing that's perfect. When you have the Lord.
I know. I can feel it sometimes too.
And he knows you're playing games. You know, you're used to playing these games. That's your nature. I got a son like that. And that's the way you are. You you're a nice guy, and you use that to so you can get away with things. And then you're doing the same thing with the Lord, with my friend, my buddy, my comrade. And he showed me that, not to give up on you. If you can prove to him, if you can soften his heart, he said a contrite heart he has never rejected. And it's going to take a lot more effort than it did to bring you to that Canaanite end that day. I don't know what all you had to go through to bring you to that place. I'm sure you went through a lot before you could come. And this will take a lot more. You'll have to show him a lot more that you're serious.
He put me there. I didn't do nothing.
He didn't do nothing once he got there. But I'm sure you've had some sleepless nights and turmoil and pressure. Because I can see the pressure on your face. The Lord knew that's the only help. And he dragged you by the hand, and we had to pray. And once we prayed, it's like my words will not return void. It wasn't our words. It was the Lord puts it on our heart. And then he said, my words will not return void. And all we did, we felt the heart of God towards you. And he put it on our heart, and we sent it right back. And God right away went on the move. He began to deal with you in your life. He began to help you, and he tried to woo you. And the God of heaven knows you can't do nothing without the Lord. And that's when the Lord tried to get you to own up to this thing, whatever it was. I don't know. He didn't show me what it was. Whatever it was. But there he confronted you with it, and you could not own up to it. And he can't do nothing. He didn't twist your arm. He just had to let you stand there. But like I say, if you can move his heart to a point where you're serious, he'll come again. You left him standing there. I keep seeing him. He's exactly where you left him standing. You got to go back and you tell him you're sorry. I don't know. Even if you tell him you're sorry for... See, you're not sorry for what you did, for your life. You're sorry for rejecting the Lord. That's the only sin you can commit. That's the only thing that keeps people out of heaven, that sends them to hell, is rejecting the Lord. Because he's our only salvation, he's our only help. And if you reject the very thing that can help you, there's no help. And that's what you did. You rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tried for years to bypass the Lord. What helped me a lot was these Hutterite songs. There's one song there that really... Einzig nur der Herr designed. Nichts kann mich vor Gott ja bringen. Als nur die mein Hex ist gut. A lot of these German songs, I knew it's the Lord. I can't go to God without the Lord. And then when you reject the Lord, you try to come into this circle without the Lord. And you're becoming a drag down. Because that's what the Lord showed. Lord, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm become religious? I'm accusing the man of something that's not. And the Lord showed me, said, you'll know. Because when he's been to me, he'll contribute. He'll contribute something. And that's how you know. I mean, the Lord does bring somebody in, he just kind of you contribute. And that's what you got to do when you wake up in the morning. You sing the song. You tell the Lord. Maybe somewhere along the way you'll soften up his heart. But without that, you're just wasting our time. You're wasting your time. You ain't going anywhere. You got to get to the Lord. You got to get him to soften your heart. And then when he sees you're serious, he knows exactly when you're playing games. When you had that conversation with Lorraine. And I'll be honest with you, I told her, and I'm so glad that he came and that you had a good time, you had a good conversation. The minute I hung up that phone, the Lord spoke to me. He sure knows how to play the game. because he knows you. You're playing games. And he tells me things. I don't do this on my own. This conversation we're having, he's talking over and over and over again about this. And I would rather just listen to
computers. I'm happy.
And I bypass all that. But I don't have to confront it. And then, because the Lord would not move me on from this conversation. It's a conversation that, see, that we need to have. And sometimes we're ignorant about the things of the Lord. The natural man doesn't, the devil doesn't want us to have this conversation. He doesn't want you to really find out how this thing works. He wants to keep you in the dark.
Yeah, that's true.
And but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot enter this fellowship without the Lord. And this thing we're in, we're not going to compromise on it. We're not going to be Mr. Nice Guy. We will to a point, but when push comes to shove, I'm not going to compromise on this truth. This is the highest thing that you could enter in. It's this stuff right here. It's true. This is a bridal thing. The highest privileged people. The highest thing that you can enter into is this little fellowship that Lorraine and I have experienced on the last. We had to make some tough choices. I didn't go to Lorraine. Lorraine, you got to do this, that, and the other. She did it all, and she fought this thing herself. And I fought my thing myself. I could not listen time, week after week, to somebody that would try to tell me things that I knew wasn't true. And we had to make a tough decision. I had to make a decision. I cannot go down that path. I have to withdraw from this kind of a teaching, from this kind of fellowship. And I know we're looked on as whatever, but we made some tough. But we've stood for the last three to four years, and sure, it's just the two of us. But the Lord's going to add. He's going to test us to see how serious we are. And there's a lot of people going through the same thing. And if the Lord is bringing you in, that's the highest profile that you can ever be in. He, when you accept the Lord and you accept His end time truth, He gives you that whole package. He gives you 24 hours a day bodyguards, invisible bodyguards. He protects you on the road. He meets your financial needs. Everything, he's your doctor, he's your lawyer, he's everything in this package. And that's the thing that you rejected, that you turned down. And now, to get it back, like I say, like last week, I was reading, or maybe it's a contrite heart.
So when did I turn it down?
The week before we had that flat tire.
So yeah, so actually my heart wasn't there.
It was on a Wednesday, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And,
but then again, I was full of stress, too much stress going on, like it's hard to...
That's an excuse.
Yeah.
That's a cop-out. You turned him down. You turned my buddy down. You left him standing there. You left him standing there, brokenhearted.
Well, I can't do nothing if he doesn't show me what to do.
Well, he showed you. He confronted you with something.
Well, yeah, but I can't see it till he shows me.
Well, he did. He was trying to...
I can't do nothing without
you.
He needs to show.
You want this? I part of the thing all he was trying to do was get you to swallow your pride and maybe call up Lorraine and I say, Lorraine, could you pray for me? Something like that. Just something that he could reach a little bit further. But there he stood, and there you turned him down. And I, personally, what I think it was, you wanted to keep some of your lifestyle, your buddies, and your your life, the gut, I call it the gutter life.
I don't have new buddies, that's the thing. Well, but
you,
I do have
you think you do.
Bad habits.
Well, all he wanted to do was own up to him. That's my thing. It might be something different. I could be wrong, because he didn't show me what it was. I know he confronted you, and he wasn't willing to give it up. And that's a time when, and there's 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks. All you had to do, like from the depth of your soul, call up Lorraine and say, "Lorraine, I'm really going through a terrible time. Could you pray for me? I want what you got. I want the Lord, but I can't seem to get over this hump." And that's all it would have took. But there, you didn't do nothing. You just kind of coasted along and played the game a little bit, this and that, and not serious. Yet sometimes maybe a little serious, and then all I know is you rejected the Lord. He's standing there right where you left him. And you got to go back and try to get him to, well, like I say, when you go to work, there's a lot of good songs that you can move the heart of God. I can show you, I can talk to you, but you got to let him know you're a sinner. You need his help. Heri habe mich gehandelt, you know. Mich bedrängte Sündenlast. Ich bin nicht den Weg gegangen, gewandelt, den du mir gezeigt hast. Und jetzt muss ich gar nach Schrecken mich vor deinen Zorn verstecken. If you don't have the Lord, you're going to meet an angry God. The only thing that God of heaven, see, there's God and there's Jesus. They're not one person. There's God, and when God looks down at you and you don't have the Lord, you're going to have his wrath. He's going to be an angry God. The only thing that will satisfy him, if you have the Lord. Like when you read about Joseph, and when he told him to bring Benjamin, and don't you come before my face without this Benjamin, because you're gonna. And they knew before they could meet Joseph again, they gotta have Benjamin with them. And then when he saw Benjamin, then everything was all right. He didn't. He had a table spread for him, and they fed him. And what did it? They brought Benjamin. And that's what God will do. It's a type of a type. When you have the Lord, it moves the wrath of God. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're trying to get into this fellowship without the Lord, you are. You can't.
I can't see this. I can't see it being possible. You can't make a move without the Lord.
Well, you think you can. You're playing your games.
No, I do what I know, what he reveals in my heart.
Well, that's probably maybe I felt sometimes I didn't know which ones you are. You're either stupid.
I know I'm not smart.
Well, there's three things that I felt. You're stupid, you're arrogant, or you're reckless. I think it's reckless. You get into a reckless attitude, and you don't give a rip, and everything is torn to shreds. That might be the one, or it might be ignorant. Sometimes, I hope it's just kind of maybe being unlearned how this works. But now you know how it works. The Lord wants us to have this conversation. So you know how this, like we're compassionate people, like we're human, and we feel for people. And we would like, I would like the whole world saved, or meet the conditions that the whole world would go into rapture. That's just my heart. But I know they're not. They're not ready. They don't meet the conditions. That's what my feelings towards you. I wish you would, but I'm not God. God will know when you're serious. It takes a gut-wrenching seriousness, not just lip service. And he'll show me, like right now, you're on the outside right now. You're trying to come in, but you're trying to come in the wrong way. You're trying to get in that door, and you're a thief and a robber. That's how you're trying to get in. You're trying to come in the back door or through the window. And the only way you can get in is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, I'm sorry, Lord, help me. But you're just using empty words. You're not serious.
Well, all I can do is ask you for you guys to pray for me so I can see the truth, so I can understand. I need to understand.
Well,
you know what I mean? I can't do nothing without
understanding. What's
easier? He has to show me.
What's easier to understand than to realize you need the Lord? I mean, there's nothing to understand.
Well, yeah, I know I need the Lord, but...
Now we had the conversation. Now you know how it works. You rejected him.
Yeah, I really want him.
Well...
I don't care of any wisdom. All I want is the Lord's wisdom.
Are you willing to give up?
Oh, yeah, I'm willing to give up.
The hunting and the illegal stuff. Buddy-buddy stuff, the gun stuff, the God knows, I do not know. There's things he shows me, and there's things I am blind as a bat. He won't show me. All he showed me, he was standing there, and he was confronting you with
what?
Surrender this thing, and I can move on. But I still see him standing exactly where you left him. You got to, in the morning when you get up, and you got to get that heart of the Lord. You got to soften the massage that heart, because he is the one that you have to massage. Not me, not Lorraine, not the door. Lorraine is not the door. She's not the key. She doesn't have this thing. She can't help you. It's the Lord. You got to do something somehow, whatever it is that. Whatever it takes. I don't know what it is, but I do know the Lord is still, he hasn't completely rejected you, but he ain't going to play games. He's not a light switch that you switch on and off.
Yeah, let's see, they make it that telephone. I guess we got to talk about Buzz McLeod. So, because either you lose me or.
Well, she just doesn't know.
See, so when you light the gas with us, you lost me. And I guess so we decided...
Let's say you would have said, okay, I'll forget this stuff and I'll go with you. I mean... Let's say he would have done that. He still have nothing.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't know about this. Her eyes hasn't been opened. She thinks she's a Christian, and she's doing the best she knows how.
Yeah, I know.
And to her, this stuff is horror. It's a nightmare. That's how she sees it. She doesn't know any different. So she had to make that call. And, I don't know what else to say. I just know one thing. I know the Lord he never lies to me. He tells me things.
That's good. Whatever's telling me, what I need to
know. I told you. I said, you need to soften the Lord's heart. Here's what I would do. I went through this whole thing. You wake up when you drive to work. You take a songbook, the digest.
The thing is, I got a poor memory. I have to.
Can you?
My memory. Like I noticed, you got a good memory.
Was kind of lead like Glenn? Did you shoot work?
Oh, you feed me.
I was Glenn.
Don't be so well forget this.
Oh, they never forget. You just bring it. They come back. They come back to you. You get up and you drive to work.
He became a gifted purse.
What are you, illiterate? You're not illiterate.
I'm almost illiterate.
Well, if you put an effort in, the Lord knows all about that. I had to sing that song many times. I messed up so many times. mich bedrängt der Sinn der Last. Ich bin nicht den Weg gewandelt, den du mir gezeigt hast. Und jetzt muss ich gerne erschrecken, mich vor deinen Zorn verstecken. Davor soll ich vor dir fliehen. Du wirst allenthalben sein, he's everywhere. Ne, weil die Hieber sagen, like, fliehen, dringe ich in die Gruft hinein. Nämlich fliege gleich den Wind, denn da wohl würdest du mich finden. Da ich muss recht bekennen, Herr, ich habe missgetan. Darf mich nicht dein Kind mehr nennen. Da nimm mich zu Gnade an. You try to massage the heart of God. That's all you can do right now. You can put on a pretense on that. This, that, and the other. This is the one that you have to massage. If you can get soft in that heart. And I was thinking about this all during the week. And the only thing that came to me, a contrite heart, he has never rejected. If you can get to the place where you're gut-wrenching contrite, you can say, oh, I'm sorry, but that don't mean nothing. That's just lip service. But if you can get to that place where it's really contrite, he will not reject you. I know that, because that's what he showed me all week. And literate or anything, he knows, he made you, he created you. He knows what it'll take to get you out of that using people. You're using people. Our rights come from a very bad thing, you know. It's a bad thing how they... There's whole society there, and it's everything is free, and they come out here and they think you continue to have it free. And God will tolerate up to a point, but after we've been out so long, he expects us to come on, grow up. And that's the only thing that I can. And when you're ready, he'll show us. He'll show us that. You're serious, but I feel that's what you need to. You need a soft massage in the heart of my buddy, my friend. He's helped me so many times. I can't. I'm hurt when you hurt him, when you reject him. The only thing you can do is reject him. I mean, the only sin that you can finally, when it comes right down to it, the only sin that you can commit is reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're a natural sinner. You're born a sinner. So naturally you will sin. But the only sin that's unforgettable is rejecting him. And if you reject him today, let's say you reject him today, you can't decide tomorrow, I'm going to accept the Lord tomorrow. You've got to wait until he comes again. There's a lot of false teachings out there. Come up here and accept the Lord, and they go up there, and the next day they're the same lifestyle. It's got the Lord has to decide when he's going to call on you. Like he did with me. I tried for a long time. And one day he came by my way.
Well, see, the Vic so could be deceived.
Oh, yeah?
So could be deceived. Past the stuff now.
I don't think it was the Vicky. She I don't know, she's probably a Christian.
Yeah, she's a Christian.
Okay.
But amongst them, I kind of wonder.
Well, she's only come so far. She's never been introduced to this stuff. I don't know how serious she is, but she can.
Well, they cannot. She even a good talker. Luke's a good talker. Well, the Ken is a good talker. I guess when I him thought that's mine again, that's in it. Naturally, I was a comer, I guess. And all I can figure out. And Tim, a good talk comedy over the Ken of Castro, I think, to close him before the Lupis.
But
be closer to him before the Ken.
What did he talk to her about?
About serpent seed and the
brother. Oh, shucks. These days, that completely blows her off. That blows her off the path. You don't talk to her about serpent seed.
Well, that's what he introduced.
Yeah, that'll send her packing. Oh, but see, I'll just give you, like I said, the Lord tells me the core. things. When the Vicky came into your life, I'll just give you a bird's eye view what the Vicky was doing, when God used the Vicky for, to lure you out of the gutter. That's it. And once you get out of there, and I knew it wasn't going to go much further, but at the end of the day, with the obtain for the Vicky a benefit. The Lord loves the Vicky. Cares about her too. And at the end of the day, the only thing that'll satisfy the Vicky is this truth. This is it. This is the only thing she will still have. She can go over there to that alliance and wherever, and she could marry a guy and have kids and all that, but inside there'll still be this emptiness. This truth is the only thing that'll fill that void. But she doesn't know that. She's out there still searching. She's still, but somewhere. But God used her to lure you out. This is just a temporary thing. I don't know if it'll ever get more than what with just a friend thing. I don't think it'll, personally, I don't think it'll ever get turn into marriage.
No, we broke out.
But.
We're done.
Yeah, in a way.
But, that's it.
But you might be done.
According to what she says.
But, like I say, the Lord shows me the core thing. And what he showed me, he's using her to lure you out, number one. If he doesn't intervene in your life, you're done, you're toast. So he uses different things to intervene. He brings certain people across your path to kind of change course. So he used the Vicky. And then I saw the Vicky. I saw her. I'd never seen her personally. I never set eyes on her. I don't even know what she looks like. He showed me a picture, but not really. I don't really know her makeup. But deep in her soul, she longs for this, but the devil does not want her to find this. But deep down, that's the only thing that will bring satisfaction to her. That's the only thing that will fulfill her, because she's a deep person. She's a hyper. She's sex will never satisfy her. It won't. She's too deep. She's too hyper. She's too
you can't stop.
I know about what the Lord showed me in a split second, just like that. Because I care about people. And he knows I care about people. But he shows me this is what's going on in life. And you may not think he did nothing, but at the right time, you talk about that baptism in Jesus' name. I personally think serpent seed is will kind of make her back away.
Well, we talked about it. I gave her that. But she was baptized in Jesus' name.
Where?
In Jasper.
Where?
Jasper. That's in Alberta.
Yeah, not too many people baptized in Jesus' name.
Well, she said she was baptized in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And she was submerged.
Well, maybe there's some people they've been baptized. We're not the only ones that get baptized like that. That's the way this goes, Ernie. This is you got to soften the heart of God. You can easily soften the Lorena heart because she's a compassionate person, and you're next to kin. Of course, you'll break her down, but. It don't work that way. You got to get to the Lord. You got to do whatever it takes. Even if you have to look what. You ever read the Bible? Like you ever read the Bible on your own? Like
I read it every day.
I know the Bible pretty much. I know it. Like look what Jacob went through. Before he could get that blessing, he worked for 14. Then he wrestled with that angel all night. I got to get this thing. He said. And when God sees you're serious about this thing, you want this thing. You want this above anything else because nothing matters except this thing. And God will know. And when he ain't just going to pop it to you, throw it at you like this thing is not trash. This when God sees you fit to give you this. There's a lot in that package. There's everything in that package. There's 24-hour bodyguards. 24/7. You got bodyguards. You got your finances met. You got your doctor. He got everything. And that's why he just won't give it to anybody that's just going to play games. I know what I see. I know what he showed me. I know what he confronted me with.
Well,
it's the difference. You
that's good.
You didn't own up to it, and I know it. I know why he allows me to fall into something, and I regret it if I did not do it. But he's doing it to show me something. So it's maybe 2-3 months later. I'm seeing what you've done, and then I hear this conversation with these two angels and this guy up front and this big one up front. That one in front, he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two said, "Should we drop him? You know, you can cross a line that the angels will no longer be with you. You're on your own." Because I knew that, I knew. But this guy in front said, "No, he'll do the right thing." And the right thing was own up. That's all I could do was own up. Like Saul. Like Saul was confronted with some of his issues. He could never own up to it. And then David, he was also confronted with his issues, and he owned up to it. See, this is the difference. It's not what you do. It's when you're confronted with it, you own up to it. And it's when the Lord confronts you, not when you decide, "I'm going to get saved tomorrow." It don't work that way. The Lord has to come, and then he makes that invitation. And then when you at that time make the right choice, he'll help you. He'll see you through. Like my son Samuel, the Lord was dealing with him. And he called me up and said, "Dad, I don't know what's going on. It seems like God is dealing with me." So he said, "This happened at the truck stop, and this guy came over and preached to me. And this last couple of months, there's so many things happened that I think the Lord's trying to get my attention." And I says, "Okay, here's, I've been praying for you, but here's what you do." I says, I can't put words in your mouth. But I said, "It's the Lord is knocking at your heart right now. He's trying to get your attention. So all you do, you stop and you get on your knees and you tell him you're a sinner and you need him to help you." I says, "I can't put words in your mouth. You use your own lingo, your own conversation." And he never told me what he said. And I didn't ask. And I don't know how serious he was. But there was a time when I basically, if he'd have passed that by, and there was a time he went and started coming to church, started going to church, and there's still some, he still doesn't not live the way I'd like him to live. I think he still smokes. I haven't seen him, but I see empty. But I don't think he rejected the Lord. I think he accepted the Lord right there. And the Lord's going to work it out somehow. But if you reject the Lord cannot work with you. Like I was still, when I got saved, the Lord saved me, I think 3 months later, we bought this new place down in Killarney there, and there was an old farmhouse. We broke into that farmhouse, and we took some, I never took anything, but the guy that was with me, I think he took some coins. But see, I was saved. I broke into this house. You still do things, but at least you're saved. And then the Lord brings your attention. But if you don't have the Lord, you're not even saved yet. You haven't accepted the Lord. You haven't even begun the journey. The Lord is just trying to woo you to get to that place.
How do you accept the Lord?
You never accepted. You never accepted him. If you would have accepted him, why would he be standing outside? It's a game. You can't decide tomorrow I'm going to accept the Lord tomorrow. I won't work that way. I can prove it to you in the Bible that God told the Israelites to go up and destroy their enemy. And they refused to go up. And then they said, we'll go up tomorrow. And the next day they went up and they got butchered. And but if they would have moved when God told them to move, like you can't switch this thing on and off. God makes the choices. He decides when he's going to come and have a talk with you, a conversation with you. The only thing what we're doing now, we're trying to show you how this works. You cannot manipulate your way into this thing. You can't come in this side door. That's the song you put on my heart for the last 3-4 weeks. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? And then he gave me that scripture last night about the vine. If you try to get in the side door, and that's what you've been doing, you're trying to squeeze your way in on the side or through the window. So Lorraine, open the window. I want to come in the side. I'll jump through the window. I know I'm playing, but it's the only way I know how to talk. And then she can't do that. She can't bring you in. Even if she does, you're hard on her, and you're not in. You're a robber. You come in and you're a thief. And all you do is rape. You're a drag along. But when you've been to the Lord, like I said, I went for the Lord. What if I'm wrong? What if I become just like another religious guy, and like how religious is, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. What if I become one of that? And he said, no, you'll know when Ernie has been with me. He's going to contribute. You're not contributing because you haven't been with the Lord. When you've been to the Lord gives you something. He gives you a package. And then you become to be an asset to the body of Christ. Right now you're not an asset. You're a drag along.
Well, I can't do nothing without his help.
Well, now like I said, you soften up his heart. You massage his heart. And I can't even pray for you without him telling me to pray for you. I can't. Because it's just words. It's just, I can ask him to have mercy on you. But I know this, he will not reject the contrite heart. And I see him standing exactly where you left him when you reject him. He's still standing there. So that gives me hope that he hasn't given up. But you got to, like I say, you know, like I keep seeing this light switch. In your life you've used people. You're using people. And a lot of hotterites that come off the ground, they use people. And it's an attribute that comes with them. You know, there's something you gotta shed. You can't use the Lord. He's not a light switch. You gotta soften him up. Let him know you can't make it without him. And I firmly believe at that time, if you'd have just called up Lorraine, just be honest. Don't be like the big brother that's macho, the big guy in the block.
Who wants that? Nobody knows.
Just because you're 6'5", that doesn't make you a big shot.
I don't mean.
All you with a token.
That's one thing I never am.
Yes.
Never was a big shot.
There's sometimes I can't. I just got to call up somebody. I need you to pray for me because it's this horrible battle. I can't make it alone. I've had to do that. Well, that's probably all it would have took. Like in their desperation. Even if you have, you know, the Lord will sometimes bring us in a situation where our pride won't let us, and the Lord's trying to break that pride down. Let her know you need help. I can't make it. That's. I know what I'm saying is true. And I'd like to help you, but I can't. It's up to you. God is merciful.
But I'm doing.
Well, you see that. You see, you go back over your life, and you like people to like you, and people do like you, and then you take advantage of that attribute that you have, and you're a likable person. But you're nothing but a douchebag without the Lord.
I know.
You're putrid. It's the only thing anyone has had lately. I don't know what a douchebag is, but it's not very nice. I know, that's what I am. I'm rotten to the core lately without the Lord. And I'll be honest with you. That's what I saw. When you hurt my buddy, I just knew you can soften up his heart. You can wake up in the morning and pray. Get on your knees and pray. You can pray before you have food. All these things are, the Lord is watching. John said, bring fruits of repentance. You say, I'm sorry, that's lip service. But show it by driving to work and singing songs of praise. Praise the Lord, even if you don't feel like it. And you will, somewhere along the way, you'll see this man is serious. I'm going to give him another chance. And then when he does come, just own up to it. That's all you can do. That's the only word I can find. Own up. That's all he requires. And when you own up, then he'll come in and he takes over. And you still have struggles, but at least you made that initial decision. You own up to it. You can go into the Bible and read about all these people that got places. They owned up to their, they swallowed their pride. Others, they rejected it. They never could own up. I see it in today's life. I see people that we're ministers that we're, that things that we're confronted with. You know very well they're teaching wrong, but they never own up to it. If they do own up to it, they're trying to make an excuse. Well, yeah, but I didn't read on further. I didn't this. I didn't that. That's garbage. That's not owning up. When you own up to something, I remember one time the Lord showed me how to apologize. I did some electrical work for the neighbor. I just come off the call and the guy hired me, and I was lucky to have a job, so he got me to hire him to do the electrical in his barn. So I did, and I had about another 4 hours of work to do, but this guy wanted me to come to Alberta to speak at this Kent meet that they had. So I went up there. I didn't speak because the Lord didn't let me. But I stayed up there for 3-4 months. In the meantime, from time to time, the Lord would call that guy up. He left him hanging there without. And I thought, well, he's just an unbeliever. He'll see. Let him see how he gets by. But 3 months later, I come back to Manitoba. The Lord wakes me up 5 o'clock in the morning. I need to go back and apologize to that neighbor that he left hanging there. And I says, he's not even a Christian. I don't have to apologize. The Lord spoke to me one more time. You go back and apologize, or you're not going anywhere. And I knew what that not going anywhere means. I'm going to be standing, spiritually speaking, he's not going to move me forward. That's a horrible place to be. I was trying to get out of it. Believe you me, I was at 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't sleep no more. Finally, I knew I got to go. I got to go and apologize to that guy. And I got to do it in such a way that the Lord is pleased with it. So I finally got in my car and I drove very slow back there. I'm still trying to get out of this thing, but I know there's no way out. So the Lord helped me. He didn't remove the fact you don't have to apologize. But I drove in his yard, and the guy was walking across the yard. So I drove over by him, rolled down the window, and I says, I come to finish off the electrical. And he said, good morning. and he just kept going. And I says, I come to finish off the electric. And he said, you come to finish off the electric? After 3 months, they left me hanging there. I says, well, I'm sorry. Like, you're sorry? Like, is that what fix it? Like, just say you're sorry? Like, and I'm here trying to find you, trying to locate you, trying to know what, and you leave me hanging high and dry, and you think being sorry is going to fix it? Well, I knew one thing. I knew one thing. I got a piece to Lord here. I said, listen, Rick, it was a very low down thing for me to do. And I wish I could replace. I wish I could repay it. I have no excuse for doing it. It was low down. And I take full responsibility for it. And I says, I wish I could retract the time and not have done this. I take full responsibility for it. Not tears in my eyes. I was serious. And the man looked at me and says, okay, I'll forgive you. But I knew, trying to say I'm sorry, but that's not owning up. I learned how to apologize. You have to admit you're nothing but a loser. You take responsibility. And then he I knew I pleased the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, he's going to move on with me. And I have had to many times go back and make things right to other people. And like, it's all about owning up, early. Swallow your pride, own up, whatever it is. That's all we are. We're a mess. But all God requires of us, own up to it when he confronts us with it. And then he'll move us on. Because we're sinners. We're trying to worm our way through this thing and get out on the other side smelling like a rose. That's what it's all about. We make mistakes. We slip up. We stumble and we fall. But all we got to do is own up. I learned a lot that 2 o'clock in the morning thing. Here this guy said, he'll do the right thing. I'm tearing my brains out. I don't know what the right thing will be. I hope I don't fail him. All it was, you got to own up to this. I did. I didn't fight it. You're fighting it. You're not owning up, whatever it is. But that's the way it works, certainly. I mean, it's about Jesus Christ. You cannot take one step without him. And you're trying your level best. Bypass the Lord. Use Lorraine to get in the back door. Open the window. I'll slip in the window. Can't work. It doesn't work. It's a temporary thing.
I can't do nothing without it.
Well, you just heard. You soften his heart. I know he's the last few days. He's going to do something for you. But you got to show him your country. You got to. It's a process. I've been seeing the process, how the Lord is doing this thing. But you got to do it right. You got to do it with the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Without, you got to come to that point. You can't enter into this fellowship without the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I know there's a lot of Christians out there. They're somehow going to be in heaven. But they're not in this fellowship. They're not in this truth, but somehow God has a place for them because they've accepted the Lord. When you accept the Lord, he'll somehow make a way. But when you reject them, he can't help you. The ball is in your court. This is a matter of life or death, eternal or hell. The ball is in your court. Now, all I can say, what I saw, when he showed me he really knows how to play the game. Yeah, you've been playing it all your life, so you know how to play the game. But he showed me that a contrite heart, he will not reject it. That's all he can do is massage the heart at all to the point where like John said, bring fruits of repentance, not just lip service. And he will know that heart. He knows me. He knows I fail him. But he also knows when push comes to shove, I have only one passion. That is to do his will. I don't want to do my own. And that's sometimes the hard thing. The easy thing for me to do would be stay at home in bed. And then the second easiest thing would be listen to Neil. But that's not where the meat is. That's not what the Lord wants. That's a secondary thing. And I know he's got work for us to do. We've had to take a lot of abuse from that group we left. We've been attacked time and time again. And many sleepless nights because of their attacks. But we stood. We know what we believe. We're not going to compromise. And it's not only that, and not only from them. Everybody knows. Even the people that claim to be in this truth, they know where I stand. And they think I'm supposed to kind of go along to get along. No. I told this one guy, I'm not going to compromise. I don't like what's going on. Compromise for peace. He says, it's not going to work with me. People want to compromise, let them compromise. That's, and they're not going to drag me into that. There's a window right now amongst us. God's given everybody an opportunity to know what they believe. There's a lot of people that they know what they believe, but they compromise. They compromise.
You know, certain, let's say, the church or the Sunday school.
Well,
or six do with him before the sides.
It's spiritual. They're attacking us spiritual. They felt we left them, and we got to come back to them, and then it's spiritual. They're trying to drive a wedge between Lorraine and myself, and that's what you've been doing too. You've been trying to come in. And
yeah. So how does the Lord see?
How he sees them? Well, they'll be outside the door. They'll be out when that door is closed. That opportunity to be in the bride, they'll be on the outside looking in, wishing they would have been.
Yeah, they taking a stand. You guys are outside. Or we are outside. I should say.
Yeah, to them.
To them, yeah.
But really not. But they know in their heart. They know deep in their heart that we're right on course, but they don't want to admit it. But if they would see the reality, the horror of what it's going to be like when that door closes, this could be this year yet, when that opportunity closes. When Israel starts beating up the Palestinians, that door is closed, because we're going into another, we're going into the era of the miraculous. And when that door is still open, when the era of the miraculous happens, they see is raising the dead, they'll want to come in for the wrong reason. And if that door was open, they could come in. But that door is closed. Not the door for grace, the door for the opportunity. Right now, they can take a stand. The Lord is allowing Lyle to bring out these strange teachings. The midnight cry and all that stuff. All he's using them for, he's testing these people to see if they're willing to take a stand. Well, I saw it right from the get-go. But I didn't. I thought he was just ignorant. But after a while, I began to realize there's a spirit on that man, that he's deliberately trying to tear down what has been taught. And the Lord is allowing it to test me, to test us. They know deep down in their heart that they need to step away. But they're not doing it. Because there's a price to pay. They don't want to be identified with us. But deep in their heart, they know that they should. But they don't. So one of these days, that door will close. But right now, what's happening in the spirit world, they would like this thing to break up between us. And they would like us to come back. It's all in the spirit. And that would kind of pat them on the back. See, you guys, we're wrong and you're right. That's what it would tell them. It's like me going back to the colony. If I go back to the colony, it would tell the spirit world and the Hutterites, you guys are right. And I was wrong. And it's the same thing here. They know they can't make me go back, so what they're doing, they know it's scripture, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. If I'm out there by myself, I got nothing. So the Lord brought Lorraine in, and the two or three are gathered. The Lord is in our midst. He is helping us fight through this thing. And they're trying to work overtime to throw a wedge between us. Visibly and invisibly, through the spirit realm, we've been attacked time and again through these demonic forces. And every time I went into prayer, fasting, the Lord would show me exactly where it originated from. And it's up right from that camp. That's where it's coming from. And then once I identify it, then I could cut that spirit off. And it can no more touch us then. And it would last for about 6 months and then come at it again. And it always triggers back. It's witchcraft. It's horrible stuff that these guys are in. They're trying to destroy what the Lord is doing. If they could, they would destroy this message in a heartbeat. I've seen it in a dream. And I'm supposed to communicate with something like that or fellowship with something like that? It ain't going to happen. And they're not the only one. There's a lot of people in this move. They want us to compromise. I'll let it be known. I ain't going to compromise. And you gotta let people know where you stand. Because if you don't, that spirit, it'll just weave its way in. And you gotta put up a fight. Like, yeah, be honest with yourself. You was trying to drive a wedge between Lorraine and myself. But the Lord is doing this. It's not us that's doing it. The Lord is going to do something as we move forward. And you can be part of that. If you just get this thing right between you and the Lord. And it might take a month. It might take a year. It might take only a few days. It depends on you. Without the Lord, it's playing games. I don't use my natural brains when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. That's bypass. Yes. Because my natural brain,
you feel it.
All is ebishly in us.
You can feel it too, yeah.
But I, Lord, what? But I believe it's in Mr. White O. You need to get that heart. You need the Lord.
Yeah, I need to get filtered.
You need the Lord. It you can do it when you're driving. You don't need to go to join a church or something. You could do it while you're taking a shower. But the seriousness of this thing, God will see the seriousness of it. He'll do whatever. What do you think, Lorraine? You think I'm off course? You think
no.
I'm beating the bushes. Just I believe in me. I'll try to get out of this conversation, but I knew the Lord's not going to move us on. You'll come and you'll destroy this thing. You'll destroy what the Lord has started. If I don't have this conversation, it's so easy. It's so simple. I know you take it to heart. I know you. But the Vicky was sent for one reason and one reason only, to get you out of the gutter. Once you see that, the horror, what it is to be in a lifestyle, And God put that. Sure, there's heartache. He thought it's going to go a different direction. But before it started, the Lord already knew what the purpose of it was. It was for one reason, and one reason only, to get your attention. Because if he lets you go down that path, there's nothing to stop you. And he knows he's the only one that can. So he used the vigor to lure. Yeah.
Before she came in, I was on my knees and praying.
I knew I was where I was, and
I was praying that he's going to help me. Mm-hmm. And she came into the picture.
She was like the tool that the yanking, the rope.
Yeah,
yanked this guy out of there. Because after a while, it would have been just. And at the same time, she heard things that. Don't worry, eventually this thing, I wouldn't say Ken was out of line telling the serpent seed, but it's really something that it's not something you lure people with. It's not an attractive thing, the serpent seed. It's something that like if a person is religious or involved in the church thing, you can't get them the serpent seed. It works when people are searching, because a religious person will never accept it. Well, you're probably not a religious person.
I read it and it made sense to me. But then again,
but
they always had those small doubts.
Those what?
Doubt. But you know, but still, I seen it. But it couldn't be any other way anymore. But still, the understanding wasn't there. I couldn't understand it, you know? I still have that problem because I'm not a smart person. I need to... He has to show me.
It's not about being smart. Forget about the smart stuff. It's about not being smart. That's what this whole thing is about. Because it took the Lord 20 years to knock the smartness out of me. Because I'm not stupid. But I had to get rid of all that intelligence and get down to the ground level, where reality is. It's not about being smart. You can use that wisdom, that smartness, to know that you're not smart. It's about all. I know. These things don't mix. The intelligence of man and the things of the Lord, I battle with them. I don't want that. It gets in the way many times. It's the simplicity. Like your family are the simple people. That's the kind of people God has easy access to. God can talk to those kind of people. He can't talk to these intelligence. Like your dad, he's not a high profile guy. A lot of people look down on him. Your grandfather, Saul, Solomon, people look down. But God can speak to those kind of people. They don't have that baggage. They don't have that intelligence stuff. The Lord can just come in and talk with this. With us that are smarter, he's got to spend 20 years of his life to tear it out of us, to bring us down to that life. I see it, but I can't put it into words. I can't quite explain it the way I'd like to. Like the Apostle Paul. He spent, I don't know how, maybe all his lifetime to get to that place where the Lord could talk to him. Spent 3 years in the Arabian desert. And at the end of the day, he said, all that was a distraction. All it was me giving God. It was advantage and it's natural, but it was a blockage that he could not get into that heavenly realm. That's where you have an advantage on other people, because you don't have that. It's not that you're stupid, but you got to be stupid on the things of this world to catch what the Lord is doing.
Well, see, I'm not educated. I'm told you're not educated.
Did you get grade 6?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Grade 8? Grade 8, grade 6, grade 8.
When did you fall out of school? What grade were you when you switched school?
It was a mixture.
So you actually
some things grade 6 up to grade 8, well, yeah, around there. It wasn't. I was not good in school, not at all.
Well, that's good. That's the beautiful thing about serving the Lord. You don't need to have grade 6 or grade 10.
But I seem to manage.
Just be simple Joe. It's a treasure when the Lord can speak to a person.
That's what I'm
in this hour. For. That all the rest doesn't matter. You can drive a Rolls Royce on the world, and it's a waste of time and energy. But you just get the heart of God, to feel the heart of the Lord.
I feel him,
and we're blessed to know that what he's doing in this hour, and to be in touch, to feel his heartbeat. To know how you rejected him, and I don't have to take pot shots and do something that's.
Well, don't be afraid to tell me. If you see something, just tell me.
Well, I'm telling you, you just gotta get to the contrite heart. He'll not reject you. If you're really genuinely contrite, and. The way to massage the heart of God, you know. Are you still over at Kent's there?
Yeah.
You do something. Okay, Ken, we're not going to eat. We're going to pray. It just don't take much. It'll take at first. What is he going to think of me? You just simply make, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Bless it. Bless Kent. Thank you, Jesus, man. Amen. Just a simple process as you worm your way towards the heavenly realm. And then God will see it. But if you just... then the next thing it's But you put an effort. I put an effort to go to church. I already got my load and I get my truck fixed. I'll be in North Carolina. I already did a math. I can be in church maybe Thursday on the way back and down by Clarksville. An easy thing would be just go on a trip and come back. But no, if I make an effort, a little bit of an effort,
yeah, it's better.
Then I don't get this . Make an effort when you get up in the morning and when you have supper. Well, we'll just say a little prayer, okay? You have your buddies, your drinking buddies, come over, come. Well, let's just pray a bit. At first, it's tough, but after a while, you're massaging the Lord. You're trying to win His confidence, and He sees that. That's the fruit of repentance. Lip service is just lip service. That's not fruit. This is the. And that's where you got to go out of your way a little bit. When the Lord sees that, He'll come your way.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can say. I can.
I show them now. They see me read the Bible and stuff. That's an effort. And I'm starting. I'm definitely. But I need to do more.
Well, you say, Ken. Let's just have. It's nothing strange to these ex-Hutterites. They pray every time they go. Yeah. They're used, they brought
I
up.
I sometimes pray, but...
Maybe to yourself.
No, I've prayed in front of them.
Loud?
Loud, yeah. Prayed before we had supper.
Well, let's see. That's how you... That's how
but
you
not decide. When Rick is around, I don't.
Who?
Rick, he's too
Why
dead.
Why not?
He's dead.
So, who isn't?
Maybe I will...
Well, that's the challenge. That's one way. We had this one guy. He was Baresco. He was an atheist, first class atheist. He hated God. He hated Christians. So I went in to pick up some stuff. He had a used salvage, but used electrical salvage place. You could buy electrical things for half price. So I'd stop in there time and again and pick up some stuff. So, and now he says, well, let's go for dinner. So we went over to this restaurant for dinner. And the restaurant was... and he got up. Sam, he's going to say grace today. So he got, so I had to say grace for the whole restaurant. I couldn't get out of it. Well, I knew it was an atheist. He was just making fun of it. But I had a good prayer, and I think it moved him. I prayed for him, and that's what you can do. You can help Rick. Lord, help Rick. He's hard as stone. He's cold. He's dead. That's all you get to talk. Like,
well, it doesn't need to be
pious.
You do that, you make things matters worse.
Well, you let them know. Honesty goes a long ways.
Because sometimes I noticed when I was listening to hymns, oh, he went crazy. How can you listen to that?
He got a bad ride from his dad. Who's his dad? He comes from Spring Valley, doesn't he? Green Acres.
He moved to New Deal.
Yeah, their dad moved to Willie Kay. He's related.
This is
to this the Pucha. The Pucha is our father. When the Pucha's a kid.
No, I can't be like.
I bevela. But it's all and you. I could say a lot of things, but what good would it do? I mean, it's all about softening the heart of the Lord, and it's about you can't come in without the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just wasting time. You just see how you can get that package out of us. He's got 24 hours security. He's got your finances. He's got your house. He's got everything. And he just releases it as he sees fit. And without him, you ain't going anywhere. You're just playing games. And then you become a drag along. And the Ken was a tremendous asset. And I helped him along, and he was helping me. But there came a thing. He could not own up to that thing. And I know exactly what it was. And he quit moving forward. He ain't going anywhere. He'll be on the outside if he's even going to be in that foolish realm. But it's all about owning up. Owning up. That's where it's at. I mess up, I gotta own up to it. And I can't own up to it tomorrow. I gotta own up when the Lord confronts me with it. See, if I could repent any time, then the Lord would not be in charge. If you know what I'm... See, God is God. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know where I'll be able to get through with this. But if I could repent any time, then God wouldn't be God. I have to repent, and when he confronts me with it, then he remains God. You know what I'm saying? If I own up to it when there's nothing to own up to, when I'm not confronted with it, it don't mean nothing. I own up to it, but there's nothing there to confront me with. But when God confronts me, then I own up to it. What's the sense in owning up when there's nothing confronting you with it? You know in your heart and your conscience that you did something, but you're not confronted with it. I know how it works, but I can't quite bring it into the point where I can actually say it right. But you can't decide. The best I can explain, he is not a light switch. You can't switch him on and off. And I know this, if I didn't have this conversation, I let that thing drift, you would come in here and you would destroy that little fellowship that we had. It's just the way the devil works. You're his. Without the Lord, you belong to him. And he's destructive. He would have driven a wedge between Lorraine and I. But with the Lord, you add, you contribute. And I believe the Lord wants to do something for you. Jesus knows he is the only way that mankind can be saved. And man rejects him, the very thing that could bring him to salvation or to heaven. And then mankind rejects him. I was thinking the last couple of weeks, and really the last 2 days, the churches reject, when the churches of America or the world rejected Brother Branham in the 60s, and they turned him out. It was like saying, Lord, we don't do things our way. We don't want you around. We don't want you to run our business. We absolutely don't want nothing to do with you. So in the 60s, when they rejected the message, that's what they were saying, because God was going to take him on into another dimension. Brother Branham said if they'd accepted the message, there would be no hospitals in America. There would be no prisons. America would have been selling out to the Lord if they would have accepted the message. But they rejected it, and they were saying, Lord, we don't want you in our churches. We want you out. Whoosh, get out of here. And in Laodicea, he is not inside a church, he's outside. I was wondering, where did the Lord go? Where was he? And I've been going on the computer a lot, and here I find out he's been moving outside of these churches. He's been moving in these rock and roll bands. He's been moving in these people that make these songs. And they make songs like, and it really hit me in the last couple of weeks, like Simon Garfunkel, The Sound of Silence. So I tapped into some of that, and here they had a meeting, they had they're on a tour, and here I tapped in Simon Garfunkel, The Sound of Silence, and here this one of these top singers was saying, I want you to stop for a moment. Just stop for a moment. Take this opportunity and ask yourself, where am I going? What's the purpose of all this? Well, then he says, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. If you give him a chance, he'll forgive you your sin just like he did me. And here the Lord has been working. They kicked him out of the church. And here the Lord has been working all these since the 60s in these remotes and using these rock and roll bands to get to the hearts of the people, because he had to be somewhere. He's not in the church. They kicked him out. So here he's been working. The Lord's bringing these songs back to my remembrance. People get ready. Mm-hmm. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear those deedles a-humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Just a short little song, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people heard these songs. They didn't have to go to church. They just went to this rock and roll band and then heard it on radio and everywhere. And here the Lord has been dealing with mankind. The church has checked him out, but he's been working with man. Ordinary Joe Blow down the street, working with him all along. And then the Sound of Silence, people talking without listening, or people talking without speaking, saying things they don't really mean. And he said, you need to listen to the Sound of Silence, to listen to your conscience. And then I found it in Proverbs chapter 1, the Lord speaking. In the marketplaces, on the billboards. Right there it is. You can read it. Proverbs 1. The Lord's been speaking all along. He's not dead. He's out there. They don't recognize that guy because they figure he's got to be in church. No, he's been out on the marketplaces, out on the streetcar, according to Proverbs. And then it was a beautiful thing to hear that. I was back in the 60s when these bands were coming on and singing these songs. Then I became a Christian. I started praying for some of them because, and I don't know why, here they're saved. Here they find the Lord. They probably didn't know the Lord when they sang these songs, because they're coming out of the church like this this guy that sang, that made that song, People Get Ready, he come out of a church. He left the church. It's when in the 60s, the Lord kicked him out. Well, he took all it. He said one day he wasn't a real spiritual, real into the Lord. And the Lord gave him this song. And have pity on those whose chances go slimmer. He said, have pity on them. Whose chances grow thinner. There's not much chance left for some people. The chances are getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And that's basically all you can do is have pity on them. And here the Lord's been working all along. Church kicked him out. If we reject the Lord, he's going to find somebody else to go on. He's not going to. So that's why I feel it's important to just put in an effort. Do whatever you can. The thing to do is sleep in. Well, a lot of people do, but it's really nothing. You put in a little bit of an extra effort, the Lord will do something. Go out of your way. I went over to this guy here. I make an effort. There's a guy over here in the old folks home. This Scrubs here. This Lance Man. I go see him sometimes. And the Lord been really moved. So yes, I went to see him. I went over to visit him. I've been praying for him too. And he said we had these Hutterite girls come in here to sing for us. And I knew it did something to him. He was serious when he talked. So I said, did you understand what they sang? Of course I did. They sang in English. They didn't sing in German. I says, I know. Why would they sing in German? I just wondered if you took note of the songs, they said. And I could tell, almost tears come to his eyes. The Lord's dealing with that man. He's 84 years old. And he moved on me one night to pray. I prayed for him all night one time. And the Lord's going to do something for the man. And it's dead. He put a little bit of an effort in. And it doesn't come automatically. Like Sleepy Joe comes automatically. It was almost like the Lord almost had you out. All you had to do was confront on up to this thing.
You'd have had to see it.
You'd have been on a roll. I seen it.
Can't do it.
And I not only seen it, the Lord put me through that similar experience. So that I'm not just beating the wind. I know exactly how it works. The only difference is between you and me, I owned up to it, and you rebelled against it. Then I knew what he said. When the time is right, he'll do the right thing. I learned a lot when that angel so told these other two, it's okay. When the time is right, he will do the right thing. And the right thing is to own up. He knew, the Lord knew that if I'm confronted, I will own up to it. That's the right thing. That's the only thing you can do. You can go out there and preach to the whole world, convert the whole world. If you fail to own up, you're not doing nothing. And there's lots of people out there preaching their heart out, but they're not even born again. They're wicked. The Bible says they are. They say, then when your name cast out devils.
Yeah,
he said, you're workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And here's these guys, they're prophesying in his name. And that's what you do when you don't own up. You become a wicked person. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for grace. We thank you for the ability, Lord, to have this conversation, Lord. We just ask that you will, that we'll find grace on your side. You just keep leading guidance by your Spirit, Lord. And we just pray you'll soften Ernie's heart, Lord, and get him to that place that he will wear this thing down and whatever is confronting him, Lord, that keeps him from moving on, Lord. I just pray you'll help. I pray for Lorraine, Lord, you know, the things she's going through. And I pray for her work, Lord, there. And I pray, Lord, you'll help to rise up above every situation. Thank you for bringing her this way. And we ask, Lord, that we'll be a blessing one to another. And we once again thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. And, we sure don't want to go on without you, Lord. We just love you. We appreciate you. We thank you that you give us the grace to say thanks that's on our heart. And we just pray you just continue leading and guide us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.